Council did meet yesterday evening. Busy meeting. We had a lot of stuff. Let's get started because there's a lot of places to go, a lot of things to cover. And the first one up is, we'll just go with what's right on your agenda. You did have some citizens come in and actually wanted to recognize a classmate, a veteran, and made a brief presentation. And they, again, we'll see what works out. But I know you've got some people with Veterans Affairs or actually the Veterans Council.
Right.
They're showing an interest in maybe helping them through this.
Yeah, so this was a presentation from some classmates of this person. It was Jerry Converse. He went to school here in Boone. I think he graduated in 61, did they say?
I think class like of 61.
And anyway, to make a long story short, he went to school here. His family lived here. He ended up
Going to Iowa State.
Yeah. All of a sudden left, went and joined the Navy. And I think it was 1967. Mm-hmm. He was on a naval ship that was attacked by the Israelis, and it's been one of those. And I've actually read about this, and it's kind of interesting. So it was during that 6-day war when Israel was fighting with all their neighbors, Egypt, Jordan, the whole area, and the United States had a ship or maybe it was a sub. I can't remember. It was
a ship, the USS Liberty,
right off the coast there, and Israel attacked it. So not a lot's been said about it for years, and I know they paid, I think it was $6 million to the families. There was 30-some people on that ship that died, and then later on they paid a couple million more. But these people came, and this person's been recognized over at Iowa State, I think down at Camp Dodge, and some different places, and they thought it'd be neat if Boone would recognize this soldier that's from Boone. And I think it's a great idea. I think it's neat. Now it's kind of in our hands on what do we want to do. So they talked about, as these folks were here last night, they walked down to the green space and thought that would be a nice thing. And we happen to have Fred Greiner in the audience who plays a huge part with the VFW and the American Legion. And I suggested to Fred, maybe you could come up with an idea and maybe move it down a block to 9th, where we have a lot of military things. So he reached out and he's got their number now, so we're going to all work together and see what we can come up with, maybe doing a plaque or something that recognizes this person. So anyway,
came with that and just made their little pitch, and so we'll see how it all works out. Also had Brenda Dreyer, Chad Houston, and Chad actually has agreed to kind of head up your task force, your steering committee, if you will. I call it a group that mostly citizens. You got only one council member involved with this. Of course, in an ex officio type position, Bill Scare, because he's got information and things like that. And Brenda Dreyer with Ames Economic Development have access to different grant sources and things like that.
Right.
But you've got a pretty well-rounded group of people to start some discussion about, first of all, recreational programming, and then do we need facilities, and what facilities,
so
and where?
This is a group that, this goes back to the original idea of a wellness center. So this has gotten a lot bigger now, more so than just a facility. But so there's still a lot of interest in that. And I know people, there's still a lot of people that don't want it too. But this is just a task force to maybe look at some possible locations, is kind of one of their jobs they've been tasked with. And so we put together a list of people with the help of a lot of different people. There's a lot of citizens on there as well, but I can run through them real quick. Brenda Dreyer with Ames EDC, Margie Dusen, I always say that wrong, Dyson, Denny Hammond, Nick Fontanini, Amy Landis, Nate Nerum, Kurt Nystrom, Jeremy Pritchard, Bill Scare, Elijah Stein, and Sean Bryant. So we do have a county supervisor on there. We've got a council member on there. Like you said, we have our city administrator, and then we've just got a good mix of, you know, Nick Fontanini's with Fairway, Nate Nerum's with Boone Economic Growth. So we tried to put together a group that's kind of wide ranging, and then they can start discussing and looking at different locations and bring us. Really, it's a committee to bring us ideas and maybe a way to move forward. Mm-hmm. So
we'll see what happens. Yeah. But once again, basically from the council standpoint, see what we've got.
That's right,
and we'll go from there if there's anything that comes up. A lot of different things. Of course, one of the big projects I know that listed on the list of projects the city had going for this year is getting the Park Avenue in South Marion, West Park and South Marion paved. An interest in development out there and really opens up an area. You've already done some infrastructure work in still have a little bit more to do, but man, you got some really good bids.
We do. We're close now to getting going on this. So the estimate on this project was $1.6 million. The bids come in. We had a lot of great bids, but the low bid come in at $1,285,000. So well below the estimate. We've got somewhere around 1.6, 1.7 million set aside to do this project. So hopefully it stays under. You never know with some change orders and things like that. But so we did go ahead and direct, the council did vote to go with Wix Construction, and they'll take on that project. So we're excited about that. We've talked about it for a few years now. We've tried to make sure we had the money to do it before we did this. That's going to open up that whole area out there as far as future development. Like you said, we already have one party that's interested in doing it's over 100 different homes. So it'll be we're excited about
it. So that'd be Cading Development. Yes. Again, Ames Economic Development brought them to the table. They've purchased land. We touched on this last time. You guys bought it for about $7,000 an acre, and they paid $15,000.
Yeah, so we did well on that. And but this is all part of our, you know, I call it our comprehensive plan, which we did years ago. But it's part of that and reach and looking forward and where can we develop, you know. And you start looking at the city, it was kind of tough where, you know, we had a lot of infill where we tore down structures. But where are we going to actually grow? And obviously the commercial side of it was the northeast.
Yep.
And so now we're looking at residential, which we've had a fair amount of residential on the south side, but so this will be over off of Park and Marion. So we're excited about
it. And you had a private property owner south of there that annexed already in anticipation of this.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Well, it gives you there are growth opportunities there then. But the part I found interesting, half a dozen contractors bidding it, and only one was actually over the engineer's estimate.
See, they're looking for work. So.
Yeah, except for that one is busy building Hancock. So
that's right. Yeah.
So they're a little busy right now. So that's another one that'll be going on, too.
Right.
So we also took one of the first projects coming up for the water treatment plant and wastewater, because you've got some massive projects that you're moving forward with on those. But this one, the telemetry and stuff like that, again, it's one of those things that it's operational.
It's operational. It needs to be done. So that bid came in at 183. The low bid was $183,361. And we're going to go ahead and move forward with that project. These are all things that need to be done. These are things that we've identified that need to be fixed. And we've tried to budget for them as we move forward. And so, yeah, we're going to get it done.
Now, one of the things people say, well, what's the U.S. government doing? They operate it. They're still your plants. You have to take care of them.
They're our plants, absolutely, yeah. They operate the day-to-day operations of the plant. They're very efficient. They've done great. But it's still our responsibility. We didn't give up our plants. We didn't say, here, take the plant. So we still maintain them and take care of them. But we're working with them. They identify as well what needs to be fixed and what needs to be done. We try to budget for it and get these things done, so...
In fact, one of the things that they did was brought up, and we're involved with meeting along with some of the city representatives with landfill and biosolids. You have an agreement starting in July that would go into the landfill.
Yes. So this is nice. So we, they reached out to the landfill. Everybody seemed receptive to the idea of dumping our sludge in the landfill. So we had to send in samples, make sure everything was okay. So we... Now we'll move forward. That'll go to the county supervisors, who have already said that they're okay with it. So I think they'll vote on that, I think, tomorrow. So now have a location to take that sludge. In the past, we've taken it to different farmers, different areas where they spread it across their fields and do things.
A little hard to track.
It is.
What's going on with it.
Yeah.
But, again, all with DNR approval. You have
absolutely.
That's the big thing.
Yep.
You have to have DNR approval on those. So. Again, it's just one of the things they help with facilitate that.
It is.
A little more cost-effective.
And I thank the county for working with us on that, because that helps us as well. So
we've got that going on. We also did approve council going back to the table, try to expand the fire station.
Yeah.
We still have a fire truck that'll be coming.
Yeah,
and
we do.
We need a place to put it.
That's correct. So, we'll move forward with that. Yeah, it's interesting. That's been obviously it come in way over estimated costs last time. So we tabled it, and now we're re-looking at it again. So, but that truck's coming sometime.
It will be here.
So they take a while to build. So
anyway, that's going to be going on. We also, last night, the council did go ahead and did expand. You have some issues at the water environment station, and I know you've been meeting. You had some closed session for pending litigation, things like that. It's the mandated, I got to emphasize, this is a mandated disinfection project. And this has just really taken a long time.
It's taken way too long, and we've ran into some issues out there at the plant, ran into some issues with contractors. It's just a long story. This could go into litigation, so I can't really speak much about it, but we need to get the project done. We're doing what we're supposed to do as far as this UV disinfectant. We've talked about this for 5+ years. Mm-hmm. I remember we had previous council members, and our old city administrator met with the DNR. They wanted this thing done. We reached out to them, says, can we do this in a phased-in plan, which we've done, and they were receptive to that. And I think they kind of used us as a test pilot to look at how we could do that, because most cities don't have that kind of money just to, let's go do it tomorrow. So we've worked on it. We've raised the money. It's there. Now we're just trying to get the project done, and it's turned into a lengthy project. So,
and DNR keeps going, where are you?
I know, they do.
They want to know. One of the things, I'm going to jump ahead and bring this up because the matter did come up at the council meeting last night. But part of that was containing your stormwater intake into the sanitary sewer system, INI. And so you started doing what I call the sump pump inspection program.
Right.
You've done 4 years now, 4 different phases. You're starting, already have plans in place, the utility committee on the 5th phase, but now you had somebody come in and say they thought you should have put in
storm sewer
infrastructure before you started this. But I mean, like that's one of the challenges you were facing.
That is one of the challenges. And I tried to explain to that resident that the idea was, let's try to fix the problem first, because so much water was going from the sanitary, from your sump pumps into the sanitary sewer. And I explained to him last night, typically we treat a couple million gallons a day down at the wastewater plant. When we have a big rain, 4 to 5 inches, we're treating 40+ million gallons. And that's about 38 million gallons that doesn't need to be treated because it's rainwater. And we're spending all these dollars, not to mention it affects a lot of the homeowners. So I explained to we had one gentleman that he had it, I was very impressed. If it rained 1.9 inches, his house was out of commission for a week. Okay, so because he was at the end of the line, all these people were pumping their rainwater into the sanitary sewer. His house, he couldn't flush a toilet, couldn't take a shower, couldn't run any water. He was basically down. As we've done that particular area, he does not have that issue anymore. Mm-hmm. So because we've gotten those sump pumps and those lines out of the sanitary sewer. So the issue this gentleman had was, well, I can't pump it. I'd have to pump it out into my yard. Well, that's where most people do. Mine's in my yard. And then some run it out to the street, which creates ice. Mm-hmm. And we've tried to identify those areas, and we try to get there. Public Works has done a good job of salting those areas to try to keep it from icing up. So for us to go ahead and go the opposite direction that we did and start doing the storm water first, we'd still be working on it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd spend millions of dollars still working on it, where this way we're trying to slow down the problem or get rid of the problem. And there are going to be a few issues. Yep. The collector lines.
Collector lines, it was one of the things you wanted to keep moving forward with those. The problem was you couldn't find anybody, really. You couldn't get a contractor to do it.
Yeah. It's been an issue. So as we move forward, we're going to continue doing what we're doing. It really has helped a lot. It's saved a ton. And because the DNR looks at how much we're treating, they look at our peak is how much we treat. Well, if we're treating 40 million gallons, we don't need to be treating that much. That's more of an expense. It all comes back on the taxpayers. So we're trying to eliminate that problem. And I know it's been for 99% of the people, it has not been an issue. They've went into the homes, done a quick inspection, quick fix, and done. We've had a handful, very few, I will tell you, that had an issue, and this gentleman happens to have an issue. Okay. So,
well, and one of the things is, I think collector lines are still on the table. It's just a matter of
finding someone to do it.
How we can move forward with getting that done. And you did for a while have a contractor or some plumber that was actually installing some collector lines.
Yeah, we did.
So, again, still in there. Let's talk a little bit about it. I know that one of the things that came up last night was the Economic Development Committee did mm-hmm. bring in the proposal extending the Ames Economic Development Agreement.
Yes.
Went with a 3-year extension.
Yep, very excited about this. I want to make this clear because there's with this campaign going on, there's a lot of false numbers flying around. We pay Ames Economic Development $105,000 a year, okay? The thing that we didn't do was hire an economic development director, which would have cost that or more, probably more, to get a good one. So we now have entered into a contract for a 3-year contract, and over the 5-plus years that when that ends, the price increase has been about $10,000, okay? I look at the dollars that they have brought in, $200,000 for the wastewater we just talked about.
The disinfection.
$200,000 there. $100,000 for this building next door, a catalyst grant. They're real close on another $200,000, $100,000 each on 2 more buildings downtown. $86,000 on this housing project to mm-hmm. redo some of the things on houses in Boone. So you start adding those things up, we're at $400,000 or $500,000 on money they've brought in, and for what we're paying, it's a win-win for the city. And the council totally agreed last night, so we went ahead and extended them for another 3 years. So we're excited about that. They specialize in things that we don't. And, I mean, they've got a staff of 14, 15, probably more now, specialize in writing grants, specialize in redoing downtowns, Main Street projects, housing developments. I mean, they brought us the developer that's going to do the housing project. So I think it's been great. I know some of the candidates that are running, they talk in numbers that aren't factual. I believe in talking factual numbers. And so that's what...
Well, they help facilitate SX solar.
So yeah,
coming and the work that's Ag Certain,
absolutely.
They've helped with that.
So if you talk to these people, they'll tell you it's been a great thing for Boone. And it's not people go, oh, that's called Ames Economic. They're in Boone, they're in Nevada, they're in Huxley, they're in Story City, I believe. Mm-hmm. They're in Ogden helping out
down in Madrid.
Yeah, down in Madrid. Mm-hmm. So it's been a good thing. Their idea is they look at it regionally. If we grow as a whole, it helps everybody. And I truly believe that.
So, well, did an extension on that. Also did an extension of your arrangement with Boone County Convention and Visitors Bureau to kind of oversee and facilitate activity at the green space.
Yep, this is the green space that, when this thing first happened, we at the city didn't want to, we didn't really have the staff to just manage that. And so we... obviously reached out to the chamber, we reached out to CVB, Convention Visitors Bureau at the time, was very receptive to taking that on. Mm-hmm. The only change was they had an event on Thursday nights, now they've moved it to Friday nights, so it's Friday nights on the green, it's once a month, there's live music, they have a little beer tent up there, they got food trucks, and I think they said last night they're even going to have a carnival at one of the things.
I think one of the later, maybe in October.
So it's really been a good thing for Boone. It brings people together. It's a nice area that's been developed and it's taken care of. And I just think it's good for Boone.
So again, we've got that working arrangement, but it does take, you guys don't have to.
Right.
The city, the council, actually city administrator didn't need the additional.
That's
stuff
the kind of stuff too. That falls back. It would fall back on the city administrator. Yeah, so we reached out, and I have to say, Convention Visitors Bureau has done a fantastic job doing that.
We do have one of the other things, and we touched on this last time, but the council did take formal action approving some adjustments in the pay for police officers.
Yes.
Again, Chief Weibold had brought the information forward, and council very supportive of making that adjustment.
Yep.
And the bargaining unit did go ahead and agree to make the adjustment. So
yep.
It does help. Again, it's recruitment and retention. That's the challenge.
Absolutely. It's been
and not
tough,
just for them, but
the numbers are way off. Even nationally, I've kind of researched this and watched it, and the numbers are way down for people applying for jobs in law enforcement. And so we really take pride in, and it's not just us. The county does as well. But we take – I mean, I want it, so – if you're sitting at home and you call 911, I want somebody to come to your house quickly. I want somebody to be available to be there. So we need officers. We need, there's something to be said about feeling safe living in your community. Law enforcement is one of the top, you know, police and fire, emergency services. I talked to someone one day, they dialed 911. They couldn't even remember who showed up first, but they were just happy to have somebody show up.
Yeah.
Where in some of the bigger cities, it doesn't happen. You may wait hours. So when we look at police recruitment, we want to also retain those people and keep them on board. So we needed to adjust the pay somewhat to make sure we're not losing people, and I think we've done that. So, and I, Chief Weibold's the one that came up with the idea, and it's a great idea.
Well, first council meeting in April, you'll have your budget hearing, and once again, pretty much going with the preliminary budget that was adopted by the council year.
We were fortunate to have some reserve dollars when we received the wrong numbers from the state. And but that's why I think it's always good to have reserves in each account to make sure we can handle these things. So
better covering. Thanks for joining us
today.
Thank
you.
Boone Mayor John Slider, guest on the program today.